This morning we continue the series on the law of God, on the Ten Commandments. And as you know, or as I've attempted to argue, I've been building a foundation for you to help us to understand the Ten Commandments. And we've done that over the last six sermons, and I trust that those will help as we open the Ten Commandments and as we begin to understand what it is that God requires of us. We began with the context of the commandments, and I showed you that the context of the commandments, that they're given in the context of covenant, and that we saw holiness and that need for a mediator is there. The Ten Commandments are never something that are to be for us apart from a mediator. The Lord Jesus is needed as we think of the Ten Commandments. And then we looked at how the commandments are a reflection of the character of God. They're not arbitrary rules that are given by God for you, but they are in fact a reflection of who God is. We need to consider that as we think of the commandments. From then we looked at what are called the uses of the law, and then we moved into the summary of the law. We summarized it as love, as the Lord Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments, love to God and love to neighbor. And then we saw how Jesus fulfilled the law, looking at the way that Jesus uses the Ten Commandments, helping us in our what we call our hermeneutic, how we interpret the Ten Commandments. The Lord Jesus has already given us that instruction. And then last time we talked about motivations for obedience. What are the things that should motivate us to look to the law of God if we are in Christ and walk according to His revealed will? And that brings us to today. And today we'll see one more foundational truth in helping us to understand the Ten Commandments. And then just to give you some encouragement, next time we'll start on the preface and then we'll get into the first commandment. So our building block for today that I want you to understand is that the law is spiritual. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, is something that is connected to your spiritual life. The Ten Commandments have a role to play in your spiritual life, and this is part of the work of the Spirit in your life. The work of the Spirit is that you who are in Jesus, you who are in Christ, that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in your life. And the way that that occurs is by conforming you to that reflection of what Jesus is or who Jesus is. Now, we see the central truth is that you as a believer are called to walk according to the law of God. We see grace in that calling. And what you'll see today concerning your spiritual life, concerning the spiritual life of the believer and his or her relationship to the law, is that in the Bible, there is this interplay that occurs between the Spirit of God and the believing Christian and the law of God. There's interaction that occurs. And when you look at the law of God, my encouragement or my foundational stone for today is that I'm not asking you to come to the law of God on your own. I'm not asking you to come to the law of God and say, on your own strength, you can do this. I'm saying that in your life as a Christian, there is this interplay between the Spirit, the law, and yourself, and that the Spirit equips you for walking according to the Word of God. You are given life by the Spirit. Romans 11, 8, or 8:11 that we're looking at says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So let's unpack what that means, and we'll begin this morning with talking about the spiritual life's details. The spiritual life's details. What does the Bible say, and what are some of the details or the descriptions that the Bible uses when it talks about spiritual life? And how does this affect how we study the Ten Commandments? When we look at the New Testament, we see this relationship that I've already described, this interplay between the Spirit of God, the law of God, and the believer. And we see that the Spirit of God affects us or changes us for a certain purpose. And the first thing that's worth noting in that is that as a Christian, as a Spirit-filled or Spirit-led Christian, the Bible, the New Testament, says that you are crucified and that you are dead, and yet you are alive. That is the work of the Spirit of God in you. You, at the same time, are crucified and dead, and yet you live. Yet you're alive. Galatians 2, 19 and 20 says, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You, dear Christian, you have died. The law has killed you. The law has shown you the way that you have failed and that you're unable to keep God's moral purposes in this life. The Word of God, especially through the law, has shown you that you are unable to walk according to the Word of God. And the law comes in by the Spirit of God, and it kills the old self, crucifies the old self. And by faith, as you have died, as you're crucified, by faith you're able to reach out and you're able to grab a hold of that precious Savior who is Christ. And you are now alive. This is the Spirit's work within you. This is the detail that the New Testament gives, that you are crucified and that it is no longer you who lives, but it is Christ who lives within you. The law has a relationship here, doesn't it? The Spirit of God uses the law to both convict you of sin and to crucify you. And because of that death, you live. That relationship between death and life, it results in something else in the Scriptures as well. You are begotten in Christ. You are in union with Christ. And this is really that starting point for the spiritual life, and it's that turning point that we see in the life of the believer in his or her relationship to the law of God. The law kills and the law crucifies, and yet when we are born again and when we are in union with Christ, it's as if we look at the law for the first time with new eyes. The Bible talks about union with Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "I am a man in Christ." And if you read your New Testament, you'll find that language all over the place. It's all over the place. It's so frequent in the New Testament that it's difficult to find men and theologians that agree on how often it's used in the New Testament, because it's all over the place. The one who is crucified with Christ and is dead to sin is now in union with Christ. And that's legal forensic language. It relates to you being a beneficiary of the covenant of grace. That's a spiritual thing. It's part of your spiritual life. And when you see this as a centerpiece of New Testament theology, that flowing from that union with Christ is an assurance that comes. And not only an assurance that you're in Christ, but an ability to walk according to God's revealed will. 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." So you know that you dwell in Christ because the Spirit of God has been given to you. And the Spirit of God not only gives you assurance, but ability to walk. And what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of the Spirit dwelling within you? See, that's the definition of spiritual life, is that the Spirit is dwelling in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come." Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, for whom I again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So we see that the Scriptures, the New Testament, tells you that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And there's a work being done because of that spiritual life that is within you. And what is that work? Christ is being formed in you. Friends, do you see the greatness of this detail concerning your spiritual life? Christ is being formed in you. You are a new creation. And why am I telling this? Why am I preaching a sermon on spiritual life when we're supposed to be doing the Ten Commandments? It's because I don't want you to walk into the first commandment or the second commandment all the way to the tenth commandment and to think, "Pastor Nathan has told me that I can do this, that I can do this on my own." I'm not attempting to make a moral congregation of moralists. I'm attempting to say that, congregation, you are new, that Christ is being formed within you, and that the Spirit of God within you takes this law, takes this Ten Commandments, and helps you to walk, helps you to live. That word "formed" in Galatians 4:19 is the word "morpheo." You're being changed. You're being morphed into the image of something else. And the way that that is done, the way that that change of who you are occurs, is here at this intersection between life in the Spirit and the law of God. We're being changed. We're being formed into Jesus. We're being conformed to His image. And the Spirit has a role in that. And the law of God has a role in that. Because the law is the very reflection of the character of God. As we said, the details. How does the Scripture speak about your spiritual life? But we want to get to some of the practical stuff too. In your spiritual life, how does the Spirit of God conform and effect that change, that you would walk according to the law of God. How does the Spirit do that? How does that relationship change where at one time you looked at the law and you saw death, as the Apostle Paul says, and yet when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you're able to look at that same law and see a way of life. Our second heading this morning, we're going to call Spiritual Life's Design. Spiritual Life's Design. What does some of the work of the person of the Holy Spirit look like in your life? What are some of the ways that He labors in your soul in relationship to the Ten Commandments? And that's a really practical question, isn't it? It's a practical question because we live in a time of much confusion as to the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the design of the work of the Spirit in the life of the Christian? There's so much confusion about that. And we could begin by saying that when we think of the law and that relationship, that intersection between the Spirit and the law and the believer, what we find in that intersection of those who are in Christ, those that are believing the gospel, is that you are no longer in bondage to the curse of the law. And that's something very important for us to understand. The Ten Commandments are not bondage to you if you are in Christ. They are not slavery. Because the Bible says that you have been given the spirit of liberty. So as a believer, you can look at the Ten Commandments as a free man or a free woman. And you can look at them and you can say, that is not bondage to my soul, that is liberty. Have you ever seen one of those books on optical illusions? Or maybe in a highlights magazine, once in a while they'll have a little optical illusion in there that you can look at. An optical illusion, like maybe, for example, the one where when you look at a drawing from one angle, it's a rabbit. And then you look at it from another angle and it's a duck. It's the same picture, the same drawing, but it's a rabbit. No, it's a duck. Or maybe another one. You've seen the one where it sort of looks like a 1920s flapper, you know, with the hair piece and the a little feather that goes up on the top of the hat. And you look at the picture and you see this young woman who's looking down. And then you look at it a little more closely and it's an old woman looking off in the distance. And it's the same picture. It's the same pencil drawing on the page. And yet one could come to it and say, that's an old woman. And another could come and say, that's not an old woman, that's a young woman. Or one could say, that's a rabbit. And someone would say, no, that's a duck. When the reality is, it's the same picture. But it's how you look at it that changes your perception of it. For the unbeliever, for those who remain in sin, the law of God is looked at, the Ten Commandments are looked at, and what is seen is bondage. The Ten Commandments are seen as something that is a yoke and a slavery to mankind. But when one has the Spirit of God, and one has trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and when one is living in this life's spiritual design, when that's understood, you're able to look at the law of God and you're able to see liberty. You're able to see freedom, not bondage. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. congregation, this is how I want you to approach the law. My goal is to not burden you with a yoke that you're unable to carry. My goal as we study the Ten Commandments, and this is maybe why I'm being so careful, is that I don't want this to be something where you come to church and you feel bondage upon bondage upon bondage. I want you to come and I want you to see the perfect law of liberty, and I want you to see that you're able to walk according to this by grace. Galatians 5:13 says, "You are called to freedom, brothers. And do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." 1 Timothy 2:16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as the servants of God." You have the spirit of liberty. Congregation, you are free. And as you look to the law of God, you are to look not as slaves to sin, but as those that have been purchased and those that are free, living unto the glory of God and walking in that perfect freedom that the spiritual man or the spiritual woman has been afforded in Christ. It's liberty. And you do this because you are indwelled by the Spirit of God. Again, that's what Romans 8:11 says. The Spirit who dwells in you. Think about that design that God has given for the salvation of His people. That design that so often as people, we need motivation and someone to come alongside of us. Maybe you feel that way as you consider the law of God. Maybe you look at this series and anticipate going in and deeply studying the law of God. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you're saying, "Pastor Nathan, this is so burdensome. It's all going to be so burdensome. Just preach grace, Pastor Nathan." My encouragement to you is that your salvation was designed this way. Your salvation, your spiritual life was designed in such a way that you would walk in the will of God. That you would walk according to the revealed will of God, that you'd walk according to the law of God. And the Spirit of God is given to you that you might be comforted as you do that, that you might be encouraged, that you might be cheered on as you walk in obedience. You are indwelled with the Spirit of God, but you are also led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." How does the Spirit lead you? What does that mean? Does that mean that if, you know, you're like, "I'm not really sure where to go, and I'm at the red light, and I'll go left or I'll go right. Spirit, tell me which direction to go." Or maybe you're in line at Trader Joe's, and, you know, there's someone over here and there's someone over here, and you say, "Spirit, lead me to speak to one of these two about Christ." Like, that's how often people think about the leading of the Spirit. But what we see is that the Spirit of God in the New Testament leads in righteousness. The Spirit leads you to walk according to the revealed will of God. This is the leading of the Spirit. The Spirit leads you to be sanctified, to be conformed to the image of Jesus through His Spirit who dwells in you. He leads. The Spirit will aid you in experiencing life, experiencing life of the new birth. And we see that, you see that, most clearly in God's revealed will. Most clearly that is seen in the moral law. How you may be led. So the design is that you would walk in liberty because you are indwelled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God not only indwells you, but the Spirit leads you in that indwelling. And here's an important component to spiritual life that's not always drawn out. I've read several books on the Ten Commandments. Every systematic theology deals with the Ten Commandments, so you can find dozens, if not hundreds, of books on the Ten Commandments that can be read. But what I want you to understand, something that is not always drawn out when the Ten Commandments are studied, is that interplay between the Spirit and the believer and the law of God as you are indwelled and as you are led. There is a purpose that you will live out the commandments with the fruit of the Spirit. See, the Spirit does not only indwell and lead, but the Spirit produces fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says against those things there's no law, meaning those are always good. They're always lawful to do those things. And those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the spiritual life's design for how you live out the Christian life according to the law of God is that the Spirit of God dwells you and He leads you and He produces fruit in you. So all of these Ten Commandments that we're going to study, for the Christian to walk according to their purpose or their design, must understand and walk out, live out the Ten Commandments with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control as being a part of that as well. The design for the Christian is that you would grow in those things as part of your sanctification and your spiritual life as you keep the law, as you value the commandments, that they would be held with these fruit that the Spirit of God produces in you. You know that I love systematic theology. You know I love that. I love church history. You know I love the Puritans and writers of even into the 18th century. And I think those things are good. And I think that those things are excellent. But I want you to know that my sanctification, my growth in holiness, is not marked by how well I know the Puritans. For some Reformed people, that... you allowed to say that? My sanctification is not marked at how well I can articulate 17th century debates in ecclesiology. My sanctification and yours is not marked by these good things. Your sanctification is marked in this interplay between the Spirit and the law of God and yourself, and your through your will and heart, as it grows in these fruit. And it's singular. It's not like choose the ones you want. I like pears, I like apples, I like grapes. No, it's fruit. They all come together And we're to be growing in all of them. And the Spirit of God works within you. How you live out the law of God with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. This is part of the design of the Holy Spirit's work for your life. The design of spiritual life. So we've seen details, we've seen design. And lastly, this morning, we see the spiritual life's direction. The spiritual life's direction. What is the direction that the Spirit of God is taking you on? Where is the Spirit of God driving you in this interplay between Himself and the law and you? Where are you going in all of this? Congregation, the law and the spiritual application of the law is that you would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose for the believer in understanding the law, in meditating on the law, and loving the law, is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is what the law is intending you to do as a Christian. The Spirit of God is working within you and through you and towards you. You would be conformed to the image of Christ. And as we approach the law, that's how we're going to approach it. For those of you that are not Christians, that those of you who do not believe the gospel, and I'm not presuming upon any of you, but if there are those that are not resting in Christ, my hope and prayer is that the law would come to you to break you. That you will see your need for Jesus and you will reach out to Christ. But for those of you that are in Christ, my goal is not to break you. My goal is to see you conformed to the image of Jesus. Paul said that we're given life through the Spirit who dwells within you. You are to look like Christ. Herman Bavinck wrote, "Christ is not only our prophet, priest, and king, he is also our example and ideal. His life is the shape, the model that our spiritual life must assume and towards it must grow." So does the Spirit give opportunity in your life to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus? As the Spirit works within you, as the Spirit models you, and the Spirit shows you the Ten Commandments and causes you to walk in them, He's molding you to look something like our priest, prophet, and king, who is also our example. So how does He do that? Well, we know that He, first off, gives special guidance in your daily walk. God will place many opportunities before you, many providences, we call them, to be more conformed to the image of Jesus and to be more sensitive towards the law of God, to come to love it and to understand it more deeply. And that comes through various providences. Maybe you were raised in an evangelical church and you experienced what was called the worship wars in a church. Remember in the 90s, there were worship wars. That was the organ versus the rock band. Rock band won. But at that time, they didn't know who was going to win. And those worship wars caused many evangelical churches to divide, and people were hurt. And maybe through that providence in your life, you committed to studying the second commandment and what God requires in worship. And through that study and that digging deeply, what you came to see was a better understanding of how the second commandment applies to your spiritual life. And you may have a sensitivity towards that because of a certain providence that God has placed in your life. The Spirit guided you in that way. Or maybe you had a difficult time in your marriage. And in that difficult time in your marriage, the Spirit of God pressed upon you the value of the seventh commandment. And you studied the seventh commandment deeply, and you dove deeply so that you would understand what God requires of you. And as you came out of that time of study, you were more conformed to the image of Christ in your morality, in your ethics, and you had a deeper understanding of the seventh commandment. A providence that God used in your life so that you would reflect Christ more in your marriage. That's using a providence interplayed with the law. Or maybe you've struggled with your salary or struggled with times of lack in your life, and God exposed to your heart covetousness. That you are a person who is discontent with that which God gives you. And God used that. Use that to expose your heart and to cause you to go deeply into the 10th commandment and to draw out from the 10th commandment your need to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. That's how the law is used. That's the direction of the law of God. The law of God often, as the Spirit of God uses it, will give sensitivities towards specific applications of the law. Psalm 119, 17 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And that's what the Spirit of God does with this direction of the spiritual life. Often you will be afflicted by certain providences, and that will deepen your love for an aspect of the law of God, that you would be conformed to Jesus. In that, your will is made palatable in the warm hand of God. You are softened by the law of God. Have you ever made something from clay? Maybe you're not a very good artist, but you can, you know, squeeze together like a little Play-Doh man. Or maybe you're a fantastic artist and you can throw beautiful pottery on a wheel. Either way, whether it's, you know, clumpy Play-Doh man or beautiful thrown pottery, what you need to do with that clay in order to make it able to be molded at all is you have to begin to soften it. You have to warm that clay so that it's soft and it's palatable and it's able to be used. And friends, this is the work that the Spirit of God does with you. The Spirit of God takes your will as it looks to the law of God and it says, over there is conformity. He says, not it says, he says, over there is conformity to the image of Christ, and you say, oh, I can't go there, I can't do that, I can't go in that direction, and the Spirit of God begins to make your will warm and soft and able to be molded, that you will go in that direction which conforms you to the image of Christ. This is the work of the Spirit for the Christian. Maybe you've said things like, you know, I'll never come to believe the Sabbath principle the way that the RP Church puts it out. You know, maybe you've read in our documents our view of the Sabbath, and you say, you know what, I'll never be there. And then maybe a year later you look back and you say, I'm there. And it was a work of the Spirit. That often happens in the way that God molds us. Remember in our Grand Rapids congregation early on, a new couple coming to the church, and for about the first month, the wife in this family literally but quietly cried through public worship. And I asked her one week, why are you crying? What's going on? And her answer was something to the effect that she never wanted to worship in a church like this. But eventually, as the Spirit of God warmed her to that worship, it became something that she loved. This is what the Spirit of God does in directing you, pointing you to Jesus, softening you. The Spirit causes you to have serious considerations of the law of God, and the law of God becomes something that you value in your life as a Christian. It becomes something important to you because you see Christ reflected. Maybe you can think of those 10 words, the 10 commandments, and reflect on some of the foundational sermons that you've already heard, and maybe it would even be a surprise to hear you say something like, in the Ten Commandments, I see how to love God and how to love my neighbor. Or in the Ten Commandments, I see the character of God. Or in the Ten Commandments, I no longer see death, but I see gratitude. Or in the Ten Commandments, I see the face of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the direction of your spiritual life. The psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Read Psalm 119 sometime. See how the psalmist considers the value of the law. See how the Spirit interplays, even in that psalm, interplays between the believer and the law. The Spirit takes these two things, the believer and the law, and brings them together and allows them to dance and allows them to live. This is the work of the Spirit in your spiritual life. Even our larger catechism in question 75 asks, what is sanctification? And in part answers, sanctification is a work of God's grace through the powerful operation of the Spirit. See, sanctification is not telling you to get your stuff together. Now that you believe in Jesus, get your life together, pointing the finger at you. The work of the Spirit, it's a powerful operation of the Spirit, that your life would begin to be conformed to the law of God, which is a reflection of the image of Jesus. This is what it means to be a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. You come to understand this interplay, and you are constantly, constantly pointed in one direction, to the imitation of Christ. You imitate Jesus in your spiritual life, and you follow Him in your fellowship, and you follow Him and you're holding on to eternal life, and you follow Him in your sufferings, and you follow Him in your cross bearing, and you follow Him in communion with Him, and you follow Him even in your law keeping. Again, Herman Bavinck says, it's not comforting to the Ten Commandments apart from Christ's person. There's no comfort in the Ten Commandments apart from Christ's person. The true imitation of Christ stands between these two. It consists of a shaping of the life that exists in and from communion with Christ in accord with His moral example. It is an acquiring a Christ shape in us so that others may know Christ through us. Friends, this is your direction in your spiritual life. The Spirit conforming you to Jesus. And the law of God used to that end. As we put aside the foundations, and as we begin to look at next time the preface to the Ten Commandments, and then begin opening and unfolding the Ten Commandments, congregation, my desire is that you would see Jesus. That you would see Jesus, and that He would be made more precious to you as the Holy Spirit aids you in your spiritual life unto the glory of God. Amen.